of the Snack Bag. Perhaps you guys can help solve a mystery. What's up, guys? This is our special series covering the new Netflix Unsolved Mysteries. And it's the one paranormal one. We all get to talk about the Berkshire's UFO. We're going to Great Barrington, Massachusetts to tell this tale. And the day in question was September 1st, 1969. But before that, I want to introduce, of course, the lovely Eli and Dan, and special guest from Staten Island, returning special guest Dan Derwin. What's up, dude? How's it going?
What's up, guys? Thanks for having me back.
Yeah, we thought we'd invite you for the UFO one. It seems like the most fun, because a lot of the cases in the Unsolved Mysteries, let's just face it, in this new six episodes are quite the bummers.
Yeah, this is like the one uplifting segment.
Literally.
The six, right?
Literally, yeah. Uplifting.
The literal uplifting.
My fucking arm hair is standing up.
Of children.
That's just the mini tractor beam starting to lock on to you.
Yeah.
Ain't being abducted. Shorts first.
Ain't no beams holding
podcast
us down.
Shorts.
Yes.
Dan's got his podcast shorts on.
Oh, yeah. We already
them from last time.
We already established that Dan Derwin has a specific podcast short. That was off mic, but we're just catching you guys up. Letting you in on the fun. So UFOs, this is fun. Has anybody ever seen any UFOs? Well, I know we always talk about UFOs, but Dan, have you ever seen anything weird in the sky? Or do you know anybody that has a good UFO story?
Not personally. I mean...
Yeah, I don't know either.
I've seen a lot of fireworks in the last 2 months in the sky. It's pretty abnormal.
Yeah, that's a little different. I remember Kano has a good UFO story. If you go back to our Roswell episode way back, you can hear Kano tell his UFO story.
David and Dan went camping, a couple months ago when COVID first hit and everybody was like quarantined. You guys were like, let's get out of here. Let's just go to the tent. Anyways, that weekend, there was like these mysterious lights over El Paso. The weekend that they're gone.
Yeah, that's so lame. And we were just staring at the sky like all night.
You know what's weird is it was probably you guys pulling a prank.
I was just going to say the same thing. It's not a coincidence.
With flashlights?
It's not a coincidence.
But like the construction paper in front of the flashlight, just the different colors.
It's just a Frisbee with some foil. Like, look at this. It's on FitFam.
Couple parlor tricks.
It's actually one of those balloon arches that you see at like quinceañeras.
Yeah.
Or like weddings or whatever.
The Barnum and Bailey Circus with the lion head on top, the stupid thing you have to whir. The flashlight.
There was a lion floating in the sky.
I thought you missed it. And here I thought you guys missed it.
So
I think I sort of had like a UFO incident back in January or February. Mm-hmm. I was driving to the Plaza Theater, which is in the downtown of El Paso. Mm-hmm. And it was right around sunset. And as I was driving west, I noticed this bright orange orb. Kind of slowly ascending off in the distance by the mountains. I didn't really think too much of it because White Sands Missile Range is nearby, and also the airport tend to launch weather balloons every so often for whatever's going on.
That's
within
weird.
The area. Because I just kind of thought it was like, it's a weather balloon, you know? Weather balloons are shiny because they're made out of like a mylar foil and the sun sets.
They're shiny.
So I just kind of thought it was that. When we went camping, that's when all that shit about like
– That's the thing though about
glowing
UFOs
orbs.
And El Paso is like there's the military base. You have Fort Bliss.
Yeah.
A couple miles down, you got Holloman Air Force Base.
Yeah, you guys have a ton out there.
There's the story of Kurt Russell flying. He's Kurt Russell, so he's a pilot. And he took his son to visit friends in Phoenix or to go to school. And he reported seeing some weird shit in the sky and didn't think twice about it.
That's got to be nice to just be like, you know what, son? You and your friends, you want to go to Phoenix for the weekend? Let's hop into the old Cessna. I'll fly you there.
Also, I'm Kurt Russell.
Yeah. Very convenient.
So he sees some weird shit in the sky and he reports it. He's like, I didn't think twice about it. And then he says years later, Goldie. This is in an interview. He's like Goldie, his wife, Goldie Hawn.
Of course.
Yes, we all know who Goldie is.
Goldie, he's like, years later, Goldie is watching some show about UFOs, and they say some private private pilot reported the UFO, the Phoenix Lights. And he's like, and he was like, that was me.
Of course.
That's funny.
Oh, and the
Anytime
other
time you hear the name Goldie, it's either Goldie Hawn or an old woman.
Right. Kurt and Goldie.
I mean, now they're two of the same.
Funny you say that. Yeah. I met a stripper named Goldie in Atlanta. She's 67.
Oh, yeah. There was
she had the tassels?
The D-team.
There was a shady bar called Goldie's across from where we used to have band practice when I was like 20 years old. And this lady, was like a really heavy Mexican lady, and she had blonde hair that obviously wasn't very natural.
Oh,
she was quite sweet though.
Yellow, and it was yellow.
It was yellow. Super yellow.
It was Wendy's yellow.
And she, dude, like when we would order a beer, like they would seriously go to the car and get natural lights like from a cooler. I swear. and she gave us credits on her little jukebox, and it was all like Mexican music, like.
That's awesome.
Like Chris Spencer knew the fucking jams though. You know, like, some of us knew what was up.
I like that.
Goldie's. That's funny. I hope she's okay. Anyway. Yeah. So Kurt and Goldie, let's talk about UFOs. Sorry. Well,
what I wanted to say right quick is before we moved on to the whole UFO thing, the other reason why I kind of tossed that out of my mind is in El Paso, we have a NASA hangar that houses an airplane called the Super Guppy, which is just a giant, shiny silver aircraft. It is
weird looking. Yeah, so, you showed me a picture of that.
So that's the other reason why I just kind of threw it out, was just like, oh, it's just the Guppy fucking landing.
It's just some weird. It's some weird circular. Like, it looks like a normal airplane, except for it's like circular and kind of dumb looking.
Guppies and Goldies.
Yeah, Guppies and Goldies up here in.
Isn't that the name of the swimming characters at the El Paso Parks?
Yeah, that's an El Paso thing, though.
Gus and Goldie. Yeah. Anyway. So, like, this story takes place September 1st, 1969 in Great Barrington, Massachusetts. But it's a before good year. The Summer of Love. Before that, Eli was digging into this a little bit, and there was some sightings before 1969, right?
Yeah, this area was really active with like UFO activity, according to sources from like Screen Rant. They put a pretty good article about. Different things that this episode left out. One of which that they didn't get into was that one of our characters, him and his brother had reported that he had an experience with UFOs years prior, actually.
And that's Tom Reed, right? The family that was 19, in the bridge?
Right. One was in 1966. He said him and his younger brother, Matthew, were taken on board. And then they were released, obviously. And then again, in 1967... before being taken again with his whole family, whole family meaning mother and grandmother, that night of September 1st. That
we're
going to talk about.
Shit.
So that didn't happen in 1969?
No, the first couple times that he claims him and his brother got taken were in 1966 and again in 1967 and then again in 1969.
And then 1969 is when the whole thing with the bridge happens, which
that's the story that we're going to get into.
So I don't know. That's weird. And this is when they all lived in Great Barrington, right?
Right.
Okay, interesting.
I'm surprised they didn't bring that up once during the story, at least even as an anecdote.
They really didn't, and that is pretty surprising also.
I think they just wanted us to like focus on this one date.
I guess because of all the people that – what probably happened, what I'm guessing, is because this one date was so active, they had to get all these different people, and they just wanted to focus on that one.
Yeah.
It was one big-ass date.
So Jane Green is the older lady who tells us her first little story, which is a good one. Her family owned a Roxel pharmacy. Did I say that right?
Rexel.
Like Rexel.
Old school 50s pharmacy, classic. And she lived there pretty much her whole life. And she tells the story about how her and her friend were driving back to Great Barrington when they saw these lights in the sky, and the lights were like so bright that at first they thought it was like a traffic, you know, like a wreck. And then when they got closer, the lights were so bright that they had to stop, and they noticed that other cars stopped. And it's pretty weird.
It reminded me of that old Unsolved Mystery episode where the two old ladies and a young kid were driving into the light and they pulled over. I think they're from Dallas.
And they got like burned, right?
They got fucking burned.
Yeah, that's right.
It just reminded me, like, not the whole story, just it reminded me of that even the recreation of like stopped in traffic, the light blinding, they get out of the car. It was like one of those like standard fare encounters, but it reminded me of the beehive hair ladies from the Dallas episode.
Yeah, that's classic Dallas, especially back then.
Yeah.
So a little more details about that. She said it was right after dusk. It wasn't quite dark. And her friend was named Mary DeGrace, and she had passed away by this time.
That's a common theme in this. They bring up a lot of other people that experienced this, and they're no longer with us either. And it's like kind of frustrating. I'm like, well,
that's true.
I want to hear from your brother. I want to hear from, you know.
Yeah, the friend passed away, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
She explains the object is super huge. Like they couldn't see the end of it. And she says that she couldn't tell if it was gold, silver, or bronze. So I'm getting the vibe that it was shiny as fuck, right? And it made no noise. We've heard all this stuff before. And that's Jane's story. But so Jane comes home and she says that, and apparently her two sons were playing in the front yard. Her mother was watching the kids and she had some younger kids inside. So these boys were playing in the front yard unattended. They see this thing in the sky. They go in. Grandma doesn't believe them. And grandma's like, don't tell your mom. And, and then, of course, she says, she's like, when you guys called, I called my sons, and they were like, well, we saw that shit, too.
Yeah.
With nicer language. They have nicer language.
And I love the fact that they did that in a cold open.
Yeah.
They told that her was whole story, and then we're right into the title, and I was all fucking pumped up.
Yeah, 50 years. That's over 50 years that she came clean.
I mean, happened in 69. I'm assuming, because Tom Warner does say 50 years. So I'm assuming that they filmed this in 2019.
Yeah, they had to.
I'm sure unless they filmed it. There's like 3 months that they could have actually filmed it in 2020. So I'm assuming it's 2019.
Good old Tommy Warner.
Yeah, I love him. So that's Jane Green's story. So let's talk about Tom Warner. Sixth generation resident. He was the youngest of seven. Tom's a nice guy. I want to have a beer with Tom. He seems cool.
Tommy's what happens when you don't stay in the lines.
Yeah.
Tommy Crayola.
Are we going to make fun of his?
Yes, we are.
We're going to make fun. All right. Let's just do it now because what I want to say is I think it's pretty clear that when he did his therapeutic drawing of the UFO, this was when he was a kid, and hopefully he's better now.
He did that at Pinot Palais at last month.
What is that, like a fancy?
That's like a couple like thing you go and
you never paint heard of those places?
Oh, no, I've never heard of them either.
They're paint places, and you go there and you drink wine.
My mom does that.
They have one of those next to the bar that we hang out at, and around 9 o'clock, you see all the drunken, housewives and moms.
What are the names of those painting places where you go and drink wine and paint?
Yeah, there's one here called I Painted That.
Okay, yeah, Pinot Palais is the New York
Pinot
branch.
Pinot Palais, that's hilarious.
So the second I saw his painting, my wife said, what is that, Pinot Palais? It's just perfect. Good drop.
Painting with a twist. There is a Pinot Palais here, actually. I didn't realize.
Okay. There we go.
What is it called? What's the other one? Pickled Picasso.
Wait. What's it called?
I love that one. I love that one more.
Well, say it again.
Pickled Picasso.
Oh, that's funny.
That's a good one.
So it's like, it's like a drunk thing. And a painting thing.
Oh, dude, sipping doodle.
Sipping doodle.
That's paint by numbers.
That one's funny, yeah. So Melanie Kirchdorfer is also an old school Great Barrington resident. She said she lived there since 1957, and in 1969 she would have been 12 years old. She said that what she wanted to do that day was go off with a friend who stole some cigarettes from her mom and go smoke some motherfucking cigarettes in the woods or some shit.
I call some bullshit on that though, because she was like, the last thing I wanted to do was go get some ice cream.
Yeah.
And you're like, come on, get the fuck out of here. Who doesn't want, I want ice cream right now.
Yeah.
Shit.
And I'm 39.
I don't care how 12 you are.
Yeah. What a fucking liar.
So Tom Warner, September 1st starts off
Like any other day, he's at the neighbor's house coloring, doing some coloring. It's a super hot day. The lady who's the older sister of the neighbor, right? She's the one.
It was the sister of the woman being interviewed.
Yeah. The Yeah.
Because the sister had passed away already, right? Or yeah, she was just not in the episode.
Or yeah, I don't know if she had passed away. Maybe she was just like, nah, I'm not gonna.
I think she just was like, nah, I'm not gonna do that.
So she was the one that was whipping Tommy about coloring and staying in
coloring
the
coloring inside the
lines. She did seem a little manic at that point, but I feel like she like brings it back in the next scene because she was just doing an imitation of a little girl. But that's like, but that's like the first thing they show, and you're like, oh, I think she's nuts.
calm down, ma'am.
So it gets to be nighttime, and Tommy Warner walks to the window, and he sees, and all of a sudden a voice commands him to get the fuck home. Right? A voice commands him to go home. He's got to go home. He tells the little girl that he's got to go. She's like, why? He's like, I don't know. I think God's talking to me in the clouds. Like, I have no idea. I mean, he doesn't know.
He was terrified. He said, I'm terrified. I got to go. I don't. And he said he started running. He just like, I just had to run home.
Yeah.
So he said he bolts out the door and he starts running as fast as he can. And then he notices that he isn't going anywhere. And the neighbor lady explains that he was just running in place for like 5 minutes.
Is it possible that he was just, you know, doing the running man?
Yeah, I have a problem with that. If I saw a kid and I was taking care of him and I saw him outside for 5 minutes running in place, I'd be like, what the fuck are you doing, kid? Where are you going, Tommy? What is going on? Like, for 5 minutes, that's a long
time.
5 minutes
is a long
time. Would you go toward him, though, if he was just like
absolutely
floating?
I would grab him by the shoulders and say, wake the fuck up.
At that point, he says he didn't see anything. He just felt something and he was scared. For 5 minutes. 5 minutes is a really long time.
Yeah.
That is a fucking long time.
So to just see some kid, like imagine, okay, like, oh, Tommy ran home and a couple minutes later you look outside and the little motherfucker's just running in place like this. And then like, what the hell is he doing? And then you go and like go to the kitchen, get in the pantry, grab a soda, come back and he's still there. Like, what the hell's going on with this kid?
That's how long it took him to paint that fucking painting.
Aw, leave him alone. So he says that he turns and then all of a sudden a UFO just comes down from the sky and beams him good. And then it's like, and then there's
did
like,
you say beams him good?
Yeah, beamed him real good. And there's like light engulfing him on all sides. And he's like chest out, like in the reenactment, the kid's chest is like completely out and he's floating. And,
that was just his dad bod.
And then, no, this is the reenactment, not the actual. Because he does do it. He does do the reenactment for us. He gets in the grass and everything.
Yeah.
Dad bod and all. And and all of a sudden, apparently he just boop disappeared. Just like
body
that.
By Bud.
Yeah. That's funny. Is we were like looking at Reddit. We're trying to find something interesting. And then Dan's just like, there's just like a bunch of people commenting on how they think he looks like Donald Trump with a long blonde hair wig. I'm like, oh, fuck you guys. Tom Warner's nice. Yeah.
That's half my notes.
We're shitting on this guy so bad.
He seems like a sweetheart.
He is.
I mean, a little
body shaming him.
A little naive in some senses. Like towards the end of this, when he talks about like where his wife works.
Why? It's like, come find her at the library.
Dan, I noticed that. I fucking wrote that down because he's like, I don't want to make any bad blood out here. He goes, I have a wife and a son, and a wife works at a library between 2 and 10 p.m.
Like, did he say that?
No, he didn't say 2 to 10, but he said she works at a library, he's trying to keep his life private.
Yeah, that's weird.
Well, I mean, he did say that he's like sixth generation, and of course, in the episode, they show him shaking hands with everybody and stuff.
Yeah, how annoying is that? Imagine
you can reach me at 3516 Wallaby Way.
How does he live in Sydney?
Wallaby.
Wallaby.
I don't want anyone to call me at 646-321.
Oh, shit.
Please just leave me alone.
Yeah. Mind your business.
So anyway, little Tom Warner just completely vanishes in thin air. And then 2 miles away, Melanie Kirchdorfer and her family are at the DQ getting some ice cream, and then they're headed to the lake. So once they're in the parking lot of the lake, that's when another engulfing light takes over their car, right?
Which girl is this? The little girl? Oh, the one that said that she didn't want ice cream.
Yeah. The smoker.
Cigarettes.
The cigarette girl. So a bright aura engulfs the car.
I bet you if you offered her for a pack of smokes, like, honey, we're going to go get a pack of smokes, would have been down.
She would have been down.
Yeah.
She said her dad said, holy shit. And then the mom was like freaking out too. She said her and her sister started crying. And the dad's like, we got to follow it. And the kids dad was were like,
we got to follow this thing.
Apparently the kids were not down.
I pictured, without even seeing him, I pictured like the station wagon with like the Bud Light can with the arm out the window. And then she even said, she was like, dad was like, holy shit.
Yeah.
Like turning down Creedence Clearwater and the fucking radio. Like I pictured, I could smell the fucking grass.
Beer can like in the middle, like on the crotch area.
In the crotch, like, or either he had one of those tin window cup holders that slid into the slot where the window was.
Oh yeah.
He used his car key to open the fucking beer can.
Yeah.
That's great. She says
he turned down Creedence Clearwater.
That's some great.
Cletus Clearwater?
That's some serious stuff if he turns down the Creedence in these.
You have to paint a picture.
You don't turn down CCR, man, unless you see a fucking
unless you mean it, yeah.
Unless there's a true monster of the night.
What if he turned it up and then started chasing the UFO? That's even better.
Yeah.
He's just like,
we need a soundtrack.
Yeah, it's totally yeah.
Yeah, the girls were like, no, they don't want to. They weren't down.
And she says at that point her sister says she doesn't remember anything. But
what she mentioned something that the mom said too. Didn't she say that she's like, oh, honey, like it's she made an excuse, right? And then she's like, that's not what it was.
Yeah, like a shooting star, I think.
Oh, yeah, it's a shooting star, honey. That's what it was. I was like, that was ridiculous. Mom, that's not a shooting star.
So her sister says she remembers nothing after that, but Melanie herself says she remembers levitating, and then she remembers being in a room with a bunch of other kids, and then that one by one they were like disappearing.
It's like, creepy.
Poof. That is fucking terrifying.
Especially once you introduce children, it's like adds an element of fucking creep.
Yeah, like what do they want with kids?
Yeah, what do you?
They were just part of the Wayfair scandal, you know? It's just
the cadiddlers.
Stop stirring the pot over here. QAnon corner over here.
Alien diddler.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's more realistic.
Hold on, I'm almost done.
These cabinets are out of this world.
I'm almost done.
That's what Tom says.
I want to paint you.
So she remembers
painting. I made you a painting.
Like, hold on, I need to dip it in the green. Number three.
The alien tells her. The alien says, "Paint me like one of your French girls, Tom."
paint me like one of your palais.
Yeah.
So stupid.
Oh, that's great. That's great.
Poor Tommy.
So Tom Warner remembers Melanie's face inside of this wherever they were place. Melanie says she doesn't remember Tom, but when she met him after that, like they didn't even – and even in the small town, they did not know each other at all. And even after that, when they did meet, she said that she felt a connection to him, like a brotherly thing.
Yeah.
She doesn't remember seeing him, but Tom remembers seeing her. He specifically said that he remembered her eyes how scared she looked.
Yeah, that she looked scared. That's terrifying. That's not something I want to remember.
So the children are disappearing one by one, and Melanie wakes up at the lake, and her parents are, I guess everyone's gone. I don't know. So she has to walk home. We don't get any more details on that. I don't know how far she was from the lake, but it's pretty weird.
Yeah, and they don't say, you're right, she doesn't mention where her family was, where the rest of her family ended up.
No.
We just hear from her.
And Tom Warner says that he remembers being placed down very gently, like a baby, and then he gets on the floor for us.
Yeah. I didn't get that, though. Like, in all seriousness, he's like,
Like putting a baby down, and then it looks kind of hard.
He's like, it's like putting a baby down gently, and he throws himself back.
He hurled himself into the grass.
Yeah, it didn't look as gentle as I think he wanted it to. But anyway, I think we got what he meant. This is another scary part. His brother yelled, "Run!" And then he said, "I can't. The beam's holding me down." And then he said he got the same mental telepathy that told him that, like, just wait a second or I'll be done in a minute.
Yeah, that's what I was saying.
He's like, hold on, I'm almost done.
Yeah.
Just let it happen. That's so fucking scary, though.
Because when you say the mental telepathy said, I'll be done in a minute, it's not that scary. But, like, if it's just the feeling of just wait up, I don't know. That's scary.
It's creepy for sure.
Yelling at your brother, the beam. I can't, the beam. And then as soon as he could get up, he fucking ran his ass inside. It's crazy.
With that, I got a skedaddle.
7 minutes, say the neighbor girl.
Where are you going, Dan?
That's crazy.
I got to go time- take down a projector screen out in the middle of a desert.
Oh, shit.
It's super easy. It just sucks.
But still.
10 o'clock at night. Overtime.
There you go. Good for you.
Get some money.
Because after this week, it is dry again until 2022.
Take what you can get.
Catch you guys later.
All right, Dan. I'm going to get a refill real quick while he's...
Yeah.
Cool.
Go for it.
So, according to Jane, the neighbor, she says that Tom Warner was gone for 7 minutes. And in between complete total disappearing and baby like put down.
Yeah.
So let's talk about Tom Reed and his family. Tom Reed and his brother and his mom moved there. They moved from New York and she wanted more of like what he explains as a Norman Rockwell
style painting. Yeah.
Yeah. Just some, they lived in New York City. They moved out to the country. She bought a little diner and I guess it was fine. They were kind of treated like outsiders, but after what happened in this UFO incident, it became a lot worse for them. So what happened to them was Labor Day, Tom had like a little horse riding show, right? Like he was going to he was about to turn 10. So he was 9 years old and he had a little horse riding show where he was going to be on top of a horse and he was dressed like a cowboy. It's the late 60s, whatever. So and him and his mom both remember that the saddle got loose and the horse started going really fast and she had to like run to catch him so he wouldn't fall off and get trampled. And she was so relieved. She takes him for dinner at the diner to treat him. And,
was he not going to eat?
She just felt so, she's like, I'll take you to my place of business.
I'll feed you.
Yeah. So if he didn't, he would not have gotten dinner that night. If he just didn't get trampled and he lost the horse show.
Thank God I almost had that accident. Otherwise, I would have waited for breakfast.
Breakfast would have been your next meal.
Oh. So they leave around 9. They take the shortcut through the covered bridge. And they drive through.
Very Beetlejuice.
Yeah, completely.
Or Funny Farm.
Or Nosferatu or whatever. Yeah. Covered bridges. Covered bridges are creepy.
Yeah, those bridges and they had him sitting in it for the interview.
They did.
Did you notice that? He was sitting in the bridge.
It's blocked off now, but yeah, they totally did.
And they kept showing the overhead of it too with the drone camera or whatever. There's so many good drone shots from the top.
So they drive through the little area. It's Tom, his brother, his grandmother, and his mother. And then he says that his grandma like turns around to like scold him for trying to feed his baby brother something that baby brother shouldn't be eating.
They have a real problem with feeding people on time.
You can't have that.
Only if he falls off a horse.
Your brother didn't fall off a horse, Tom. Don't feed him.
It's not time yet.
So as she's turning around, she notices a ball of light coming from, like, I guess, like the little openings in the wood that it looks like it's coming from the lake. And they explain it as a light ball. When they get to the other side, there's a light ball, and it's like nothing they've ever seen. Apparently, as it slowly rose, it fired rods of light from it. That's what Tom
says. Yeah, that's a first. The other people didn't say that.
Yeah, that's weird. That seems different, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So apparently Tom's brother was fixated on something to the right of the car, and what he explained was an orange orb that looked like what he said was like spinning? The ocean, like
yes, ocean waves or
yeah, like some sort of pulsating, like,
yes,
you know, orifice moving something.
And didn't we cover something similar on another Unsolved Mysteries where the guys in the woods, there was a bunch of like workers and Rendlesham? They went and followed it.
Rendlesham Forest, yeah, the Rendlesham incident.
Workers, yeah. Or was it the military?
It was the military. Yeah. You're right. Yeah. It was. I just remember
the American military base in England.
Yeah, that was yes. It. And
that was season two opener or season
very
three.
Similar, very very similar experience as far as the orb is concerned.
Yeah, that does seem like something from Rendlesham for sure.
That I was immediately reminded of that.
So the mom is the first one to notice. So the mom is actually the first one to notice a disc-shaped object in the sky, like kind of like your normal UFO type looking object, like your.
You and know, I feel like out of all this, I think that Tom's mom. I apologize. I don't even remember her name. Do you remember? Did you get her name?
No.
Well, I Tom's
Mrs.
mom
Reed
is yeah, Mrs. Reed. She's the only one that I like. I feel like she is the most.
Reliable?
I want to say normal, reliable. I don't know. I, for some reason, I don't know if it's mean to say, but I get the feeling that she's like the most normal.
Maybe. So as they stare up, the whole car lights up like crazy. They also say that it's like eerily silent, like creepy silent. But Tom says he remembers seeing like, you know, his grandma's hair, the back of her head. They remember seeing everything so vividly, like it was daylight.
Yeah, they said that the bright lit up.
And they're like out in the middle, you know, they're like kind of driving through a little grassy area that would be populated by insects and frogs, and there's water, there's creeks.
Oh, all the fireflies and shit, yeah.
Yeah, and it's just like completely silent.
That's so eerie. And he said that there was something in the atmosphere too. He felt pressure, I think.
Pressure. Is what he said. It was like it was the. It was absolutely quiet. Like it sucked the pressure out of like them.
And then, so I guess once this like UFO like recedes, all the sounds.
and then David Bowie and Freddie Mercury started singing.
Yeah. Dun, 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 Utopian dun, dun, dun. Society.
No, it's so the UFO, they don't say the UFO goes away like Jane did, right? They're seeing this UFO, and they say all they remember is all the sound that, like came rushing back like all at once, like of all the nature and wind and everything around them, and then that's the last thing they remember. Well, that's the last thing at least the mom remembers before waking up at a fucking
she
pharmacy.
Has no memory. Yeah.
1.2 miles away at Silk's Variety, which was a drugstore. They wake up.
And but this was a super crazy detail.
Yeah, there's 3 hours of time in between this that none of them remember.
And that's crazy because the other people, the other events was like just a couple minutes, 15 minutes.
Tom said he remembers segments that equate to about 15 minutes.
Yeah. 15 out of the three. Mom remembers not a damn thing.
Yes.
I think the first Tom, he mentioned, Painter. I think, yeah, the Painter Tom.
Warner.
Tom Warner, he's the girl that was Warner. That he was at his that she he was at her house. She said he was gone for 7 minutes, and then cigarette girl, 15
hates
minutes.
Ice cream,
and this one was 3 hours.
But
yeah, that's the longest account that we have so far.
But also, we don't know if. They were like disappeared for like, we don't know, you know, okay. Maybe the little kid was taken for that like 15 minute period or something, but 3 hours goes by, they wake up and, the one thing that they know that makes it extra fucking weird is that grandma and mom's spots are reversed.
Yeah.
Grandma doesn't drive. She don't drive.
The aliens messed up. Now the older one's always driving.
Yeah,
they fucked
weird.
Up.
Like figurines, I picture him like playing with toys,
Lego figures in the seats.
And they also never turned off the ignition.
No, the ignition was turned off. I thought
it was turned off when it came back. Yeah, when they came to
right before. Yeah, they never turned it off. But when they woke up, it was off.
Correct. Yeah, yeah, that's what I meant.
Right.
I like how the aliens fucked up the seating order.
Yeah,
it's you like had one job.
It's so one job. It's so simple.
Put the blue hair back in her proper place.
So then,
sorry, she seemed like the alpha. I messed up. I won't do it again.
She seemed like the alpha.
She was 4'11" I thought she was in charge.
That's the alien. That's the my alien voice. Sorry,
I'm just an alien. Beep, I don't know what I'm doing.
I'm sorry, I messed up. I won't do it again.
Dumb alien voice.
So, so next we get like a cool little like investigative part of the episode that goes nowhere, where they try to see if there's any record of what was on the radio that day.
Yeah, Tom J, the DJ.
Nothing but CCR, man. That's all we played.
That guy, yeah. Just
turned down.
Just CCR. That was CCR Wednesday, whatever. I don't know what day of the week it was. But, yeah, so the radio DJ is this, like, guy who looks really happy to be on camera.
The new DJ, not the one, obviously, back in 69.
Yeah. He explains how everything's digital. Obviously, we know this. Summer of
69.
He fucking corporatized the whole thing. Like, now he had the polo shirt with the logo and shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Back then, you know, like, you saw a beer can on the mixing board, and, like, now he's like, we here at the radio station, or...
He's like, we wish we had it, but we don't. It's like, why are we here interviewing you? Okay, next. Yeah,
what's the point of his on-screen appearance? It's a waste of time.
So next is microfiche time.
So wait, what? This happened September 1st?
Yeah.
So that was a Monday. I looked it up.
Oh, nice.
Thanks for nothing.
September 1st, 1969 was a Monday.
So, yeah, the microfiche goes a little better. Because they don't find anything, so never mind. It doesn't go better at all. Yeah, they look at all the papers at that time from that time, and I think it was
police
like
a, records. Yeah, they look at everything.
It was like an old reporter, or like a. And he was talking about how he like knew somebody from that time, and the person said they remembered the story but didn't print any of it because they thought it was a bunch of bullshit. And, yeah, I mean, it's pretty much like it just wasn't reported about in the local newspaper. They couldn't find anything from 1969 that proved that somebody saw some things. And that's rare. Tom Warner's, he's a great character in this, but I think the guy character who is my perfect. Favorite character is probably,
the gas station man,
Eddie Gullotta. Yes.
Yes.
He's amazing. He owns the gas station in...
I can't wait to talk about Eddie.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He owns a gas station in Great Barrington that his dad owned before him. We're introduced to him by him showing us this picture of his dad fishing. And he's like, people used to ask if that was my dad. Now they ask if it was me. And he's just a sweet, bushy, mustached man who definitely believes in the aliens, because he says that when he was a kid...
Wait, hold on. There is something going on outside. Hold up.
What the fuck?
Is it like windy?
You guys are it's you windy. Guys are paranoid,
it's
just windy.
It's the wind, people. My kids came in. They're all like, what's going on?
Oh my gosh. You guys are all a bunch of paranoid fools.
Why are you drinking out of that fucking water bottle like you're at halftime?
My son brought it to me. He's like, he brought it to me yesterday, and he left it on my desk. I was like, oh, I have water here.
Dad, you had a good first half here.
I used to use this when I would go cycling. That's why. So why are you drinking like if it's halftime?
Eli's in the penalty box.
My wife's like, you're no athlete.
No shit.
This
gas station guy.
Yeah, so Eddie talks
gas
about
gas station Eddie.
Gas Love station Eddie talks about how his dad's a great guy, and his dad was the chief of police at that time in the 60s. And that people
and the apple falls far from the tree.
Yeah, I guess so. But you know what's weird is it seems like one of those small town situations, like I was watching Storm of the Century, it's like a Stephen King miniseries, and the guy who owns the convenience store is also the town sheriff. But I didn't know that was a thing until I saw this, because apparently he always owned the store, even though he was the fucking chief of police. So,
do you think the dad owned the store too? Do you think
I think that's, doesn't he say that? Because he says
that it was passed down to him, or do you think that this is just like a separate gig?
Yeah. He says that people would come into the store and tell his dad about like all the UFOs they saw, and they would all say that it was people, you know, that they would see shit landing in the fields and taking off. And he said his dad didn't believe it. He thought it was bullshit. But like him and his friends loved it, and they went camping, and they would camp in cars and go and try to look and find some UFOs. And he's like, I believe it. He's like, I haven't seen anything, but I believe it. So I don't know. Was his dad the chief of police / pharmacy? Or no, I guess it's more of a convenient, like a gas station.
It was a mobile. It was like a mobile.
Oh, it was a straight up mobile. You're right.
Yeah. So, he had a mobile fucking polo on.
Yeah.
So it's just, yeah. Huh.
Maybe. And the best was they were interviewing him, and like they showed like a piece of the reenactment, and in the background you hear like the Sonic the Hedgehog rings of like I guess like when a woman scans her lotto ticket, there's like that but they played that sound over the reenactment, and I went, was that the Sonic ring? But it was just like that gas station sound, like that
Sega.
You know.
Oh yeah, because it's his voice, right?
It was just like that typical like lotto machine ring, or like the gas pump.
It's playing over like this epic drone shot of all these fields that UFOs landed in.
And it's like, bing.
Yeah.
Fucking Emerald City.
They wanted to catch him in his element. They couldn't take him outside. You know, fuck that.
he's like, that's a great picture of my dad. It was like sun faded 20 years ago.
But he's great.
He's holding a bull.
He's like, flying objects in the sky that wasn't an airplane. Hello. There's something out there.
Between the gas station guy and Tommy, like that town's favorite slogans are like hooey, baloney. I kept saying, oh, it's all a bunch of hooey and if you will and balonies. I think the guy said hooey like two or three times, the gas station guy.
It's a bunch of hooey.
Mind your language, sir.
He does say, even though his dad didn't believe, that his dad still investigated everything that was reported. And Tom Warner's like, why would I lie about this? You know, he's like, he said he didn't like to talk about it growing up. It would scare the shit out of people eventually. Like, it just wasn't fun. He talks about how he didn't have girlfriends in high school and he was kind of a nerd and kind of a loner, I guess, more. He says people don't want to hear about this. It's too scary. And then he explains his little painting about how he painted it for therapy. So I'm assuming he did his painting when he was a kid. But you know what? I kind of like it. Like, I kind of want a print of it. Like, like the texture of the UFO is kind of.
Yeah, can cool I buy that?
Yeah, I really like it. I don't know. We're giving him shit, but I don't know. I want like a poster of it.
If he painted that at 10 years old, I'm all in. But if he painted that at 48,
He's like, well, I knew you guys were coming, so I went ahead and painted this.
Yeah, he's like, I haven't showed anybody this. And I was like,
maybe
I get
not
it.
10 years old, but yeah, I don't know.
No so, shit.
Yeah. So, but he talks about painting that as like therapy and it helping him out. And, you know, he's like, we're not alone. You know, he lets us know that.
I'll tell you what, like in all seriousness, though, you take a step back and you get all of these accounts from this one day. And like, and there's a bunch of different towns, like they keep showing like that overhead map. And everything is what, like maybe 5 miles apart at most, like all these little towns. Yeah. And it's like, can they all really be fucking lying? Like, I'm sure something was up there. Like, I'm not sure what. Like, maybe it's military. And then the gas station guy, he made a big point to mention how, like, in the papers, like the military is like seeing these, like they're having sightings, and they showed like that one clip of like. The
one that was like officially released by the military.
Yeah, and it showed like the black dot circle, and it was like it would move fast. It moved in between the planes, and then. But I love the gas station guy goes, "Guys smarter than us." He goes, "If they saw it, you know, it's got to be real."
Yeah, he's a humble guy. He's nice.
He's very humble. I'm making fun of him, but whatever.
So, yeah. So, Melanie says that her sister believed her. And she had a boyfriend that she could talk to him about it. But, yeah, he passed away. But, yeah, she said she just wouldn't talk about it. There was only people very close to her that would know about it. That was kind of the point. Tom, when he was a little kid, talked about it a lot. And I guess that got back to the parents. The mom said she didn't talk about it. But it got bad. Like, they got followed home from school, and they started being ridiculed for being, you know.
Yeah, and someone exposed themselves on a table to the mother.
It's so fucked up.
Oh, yeah. What the fuck was it? Like, something real out of this world?
Oh, it's so fucked
that's
up.
That's so fucked up. And not only that, yeah, but, like, I think half of that has to do with, like, the UFO encounter and, like, the hearsay. And the other half has to do with the fact that they were from New York. Like, they were just out-of-towners.
Yeah.
Because he said that they, like, they weren't accepted. They were followed home. She said she was followed up into her driveway, right?
Yeah. And I think
she said she didn't talk about it, right? And he was very vocal. He was a lot more vocal than her.
He pulled a little bit of that New York card. He's like, you mess with one of us, you mess with all of us. I wear my heart on my sleeve. I'm from Queens.
I used to live in an aqueduct.
Yeah. I live near the Beeline. Like, he had, like, that New York tude.
She says, like, the only reason I'm here today is because Tom, and, like, he won't fucking, like he's like, the truth is truth.
He sticks to his guns, yeah.
Yeah, he sticks to his guns. She's like she would be okay just being like, whatever, that was weird, and moving on, but she'll be there for her son because, you know, those
weeks. I felt bad she had to close the store. She had, like, a diner she had to close up. Yeah, and that was sad.
They were literally run out of town.
Yes.
Tom Reed, as an adult, says his mom's Norman Rockwell turned into a Salvador Dali.
That was a good reference.
It is good. And he's not even the painter.
Yeah, speaking of painting.
Tommy Warner.
Yeah, that's Tom Reed.
Real quick, I love the fact at the end when they showed Tom walking around and he was like, oh, my wife works at the library from 2 to 10. And, like, they showed Melanie walking around. And she had just had, like, did anyone notice she was just drinking a fucking beer?
Was she?
She had a beer with a top and a straw. She was just open carrying.
I thought it was like a Starbucks. Awesome. I think it was a Starbucks.
I didn't see any Starbucks logo. That looked like a Mets game stadium beer.
Or like
with the lid, with the straw. She was smiling. She looked good. You know, she was hanging out in her town, but, like,
let's assume it wasn't a beer.
It was a fucking beer. I'm convinced.
With a straw. Prove me wrong.
I got to go back and watch now.
Meme of Dan Derwin. Lady Melanie Kirchhart or whatever, I think I said her name.
The woman who hates ice cream.
Yeah.
But loves open beers. With
a beer.
Yeah.
Loves She's open drinking
beers.
A beer.
Beers and cigarettes.
Beers and cigarettes. Girl after my own home.
Change my mind.
Yours and mine both.
Melanie from Unsolved is drinking a beer. Changed my mind.
That's funny.
It's happening. Hello. That's my impression of Eddie, the gas station guy, talking about the military.
Oh, yeah. UFOs the released. Way he ranted at the end was beautiful.
I believe it. Yeah, he's great. I like him. But yeah, like, Tom Warner says that no one really they don't doubt him as much as when he was younger. And it's becoming a thing that's less ridiculed. I mean, he explains, like, why, you know. My family, he says his family has lived in that house for 182 years. He's a sixth generation. Why would he want to be, like, subject of ridicule amongst all of his neighbors? And
why come out with it now if you're...
And that's true.
Why lie about it all these years and stick to his guns? You know, he has a wife and who works at the library, which he mentions weirdly. And he's got a
Monday to Friday.
And he's got a... 2 to 6.
From 2 to 10.
Yes.
No, he said no. Dan said 2 to 10.
10's a little late for the library, but yeah, I don't know. Maybe.
You know what? I don't set the rules.
There's a new shipment coming in.
I don't set the rules.
But anyway, yeah, that's his wife's shift. I don't know. He's a fixer. Everybody knows him in the town. But yeah, I mean, the point I'm making is, yeah, why would he make this shit up?
It's got to, like, be hard because, like, imagine, like, that really does happen to you. You have, like, a story like that. And then you're like, I want to tell somebody. You could tell your close friends, your family, but, like, you want to go on, like, a fucking Netflix documentary and, like, expose your family to some shit like that. That's, you know, that is set up for ridicule, especially what happened with Tom Reed's family.
Tom Reed, with
his mom in the diner. Yeah.
And Tom Reed is definitely a little more aggressive, maybe is the wrong word, a little more strong-willed about his response to people that don't believe him. Because
he's like, you don't believe me, I don't care.
Yeah, he's like, I was there, shut up.
That's every boss I have at work.
But Tom
get
Warner,
your work done, everything's great.
But Tom Warner's a little more, you know, humble. He's like, why would I want this town that is my life, everyone in it, to just ridicule me?
Yes.
He's like, you know, like, why would I?
He's on the street shaking everyone's hand.
Yeah, there's cool drone shots of him being neighborly.
Mayor Tom.
Yeah, I like him. I'd vote for him. I'd want to have a beer with him. I'd vote for him.
I would vote.
But yeah, I mean, we went over a little bit of some of the extra story. It's interesting that Tom Reed thinks that Tom Reed was had more UFO experiences before this. I don't know if anybody had any after. They don't really talk about it, but
How do you guys real quick while I'm on here? How do you guys like the new Unsolved Mysteries? How do you like the six episodes in general?
Yeah, we talk about it all the time, man. I'm a huge fan.
We didn't ask you about it though, because you're like a hardcore fan. So, yeah, I really like it. I think it's perfect for this time.
I think it's great with no hosts. I know that's a controversial subject, but I think that no host is just a nice touch.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's good. I mean, like we were saying in an earlier episode, it's good that Robert Stack is still the host of Unsolved Mysteries. You know, no one's taking that away from him. Yeah, if you skip
over the Dennis Farina years.
Yeah, no one counts those because it was just the same story with
Dennis. Yeah, it was the same stories, and he was like in a fucking, you know, in a NASA facility with all the flashing buttons, and like that was like the whole show.
Yeah.
But I like the no host.
He was on the set of what's that show? Sequest.
He was on. Wasn't that the kid that killed himself?
Yeah. Jonathan Brandis. I think we talked about that on this podcast too.
We always talk about Jonathan
Brandis. That's the second Jonathan Brandis bring up.
Hey, so I do have something also to mention. The episode also regarding the Reeds. They actually erected a historical marker on the Sheffield Bridge in 2015.
No shit.
That marks the spot where Thomas Reed and his family were supposedly taken.
Wow.
So the monument was actually paid for with donations, not by the state, but it speaks to the like how many people actually believe that the Reeds actually went through this.
And in all honesty, 100%, I do not believe that they were lying in any way. Happened to them, and then like if it really did, or if it was just their imagination, or however deep you want to go, I don't think it was an imagination. I think that some shit's going on out there, but I believe that they are telling the truth as they see it.
Yeah, I think so too.
It must be kind of like humbling after being ridiculed by the town to have like that historical marker there. Like it might be kind of like, what's the word? Like, you know, like
it's humbling. You said it.
Yeah, that's, like a 360 it's, kind
gratifying.
Of, yeah, gratifying. Like gratification. Like, yeah. After all that shit that there's
finality.
Like, that there's like, oh, like I told you this happened. Yeah,
I fucking told you.
Yeah, I don't believe anybody's lying. It's super weird. Is it aliens? Maybe not, but it's sure as fucking weird.
We can't say.
I want to, like, this would make such a good fucking scary movie, but also, I mean, it reminds me of something. It kind of reminds me of Super 8 a little bit because you find out at the end that no one's really dead, that the crazy alien monster just like has like a nest and everyone's there.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen that movie?
Yeah, of course.
I saw it a long time ago. I only saw it once though.
I think it really holds up. It's good. Especially like, you know,
I need to revisit
it. If you liked this story, if it creeps you out, check out Super 8. Especially also if you like Stranger Things and E.T. and Goonies and things like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I really think J.J. Abrams, like he kind of got in on that, like, before. He was like, hey, this is my movie about kids that's inspired by E.T. And then, right. And then everyone's the like,
Duffer Brothers.
Everyone talks about Stranger Things, but it's like, you should check out Super.
And they were involved in the new Unsolved Mysteries. Somebody from Stranger Things is one of the producers.
I think it's Sean Levy, who's the producer.
I don't know if he produces or he's just in, but I know he's involved. He like his name was in the trailer. The Stranger Things name was dropped in the trailer.
Yeah, Sean Levy is the guy who he directed like Night at the Museum, and he's got some cool directing credits. But he's been involved with Stranger Things since the beginning. They needed like he was like the kind of guiding like I've directed a bunch of movies and I kind of know what's up. Like he was their guiding light for the Duffers when they started that.
Yeah.
And usually I think he directs the middle episodes every year in Stranger Things while the Duffers are finishing writing the finale that they end up directing. So you know, they can like go off and finish writing and they could know that the show's not going to suck because, you know, this guy's done.
It's in good hands.
Good shit. So he's holding the ship, Sean Levy is the name that's the producer on this.
I love the intro. I mean, just to jump back to like the series and like as a whole real quick. Like,
yeah, yeah, for sure.
I think the intro is phenomenal. It's got like the classic creepiness. The music mix is really good.
It does all of the, it gets all it hits the all parts the right in. Buttons, man. It gets all the parts in like a very compact little spot.
It's all, and it's only what, like a 20, 30 second intro where like all like
the, yeah, it's really that, short.
Man, it's really
and then they fade out to Robert Stack's silhouette and you can't even see his face, but you see the trench coat outline and you're like, I know exactly what the fuck is going on here.
Yeah. It's his face and like shoulder. Yeah. But also,
love it.
What I was going to mention is, did you guys, I have my Netflix set up so it doesn't immediately go to the next thing. It'll just play credits.
Mine does, and it annoys me because when an episode ends, I love the credit music.
Yeah.
But just as it's about to hit the crescendo, it fucking goes to like some kind of Steve Carell fucking Space Force.
Space Force is awesome.
And I'm like, fuck this. I want to hear the rest of that song. And I haven't heard the rest of the song yet.
So you know what I did? I went on my Netflix.
David Spade in.
I went on the website, and you can go to your profile and you can turn. Yeah. You can even make the font smaller if you want subtitles, which I did. And I turned off the thing that immediately plays trailers when you're just looking at stuff.
Oh, it's the worst. Yeah, when you're just trying to select, like, I just want to watch something, and it's trailer.
I turned that off, and then I turned off immediately go to next.
I have to do that because
awesome.
If you go to a desktop, you can change all that?
Yeah, you can. Yeah, you can do. Oh, you can awesome. Go into your specific.
I watch
profile.
Netflix on my PS4 mostly.
Yeah, so you can go on your desktop, and it'll change it on your PS4. It's
okay, perfect.
It's a game changer because I hate that. But the end of the music, it's just a longer version. It doesn't. It's not like the old Unsolved Mysteries outro.
No, but it's great.
But the end of it is cool because like, in the last couple of bars, a straight synth joins, and then it still ends with the like the way it always ended.
Yeah,
really?
Like, yeah, it's hard to explain, but
I'm gonna watch it when I get off with you guys. I'm gonna check it out. That's awesome, and good to know that I could do that from
I think that's
my desktop for anybody listening out there who has the same fucking issue that I do.
Yeah, I hate when I'm just looking at stuff and it plays the trailers. Like it just starts playing. Like,
I don't necessarily mind the trailers. Oh, I do mind.
I don't know. I don't like.
But sometimes it just depends, man. Sometimes I do enjoy the end, but other times I'm like, I just want to get to the next episode.
Well, yeah. Like if you're binging a
the
series
option is
and
still
you want
at the
episode
bottom.
To episode, that's fine. But like when you're like, what do I want to watch on Netflix tonight? Right. And you're sitting there and you like highlight one show and 2 seconds later someone's yelling in a snippet from the movie, and you're like, no, like I'm still shopping here.
That's the one thing that annoys me the most. The thing I like about not immediately going to the next episode is you physically have to choose next episode. Like the little thing's still there, but it's just like,
it doesn't have that fade bar, whatever.
You get to make a decision like, hey, do I want to get up and do something?
Are you still there? The classic Netflix. Are you alive?
You never get the "Are you still there? Are you still watching?"
Yeah.
Are you covered in ice cream? Yes.
Are you covered in your Bud Light?
Yes.
Are you baptized?
Are you comfortable?
But yeah, the UFO.
Red beer.
I'm really glad that this UFO that they did one UFO episode. I really, really, really hope that we get some more paranormal stuff.
We know next volumes they're gonna do ghosts, but yeah, I do hope for some more paranormal stuff. Definitely
some lighthearted stuff, and not to take away from the other episodes because they were really well done.
So good, yeah.
But Unsolved Mysteries is just more than unexplained death and missing persons, and all that, like the paranormal stuff, the fun stuff. Like I'm. Like I said, I have no issues with the first 6 episodes, but they should bring more to the table. And I think they said before Christmas will be the next batch.
I'm thinking Halloween.
Yeah.
Especially because they have a ghost episode. I'm thinking
and
Halloween.
And they're already done.
Oh, yeah.
That would be amazing if they did it.
They're in the can waiting to be put up.
What was your favorite of these? What was it, this one? Or Ray Rivera's
the UFO
pretty
ones
great
can't
too.
Be my favorite by proxy just because they're goofy in nature. I'm not saying that there's any, not to discredit anybody, but like as a in nature, like they're just fun.
Yeah.
But as far as like real interest, I thought the one in France was fucking, that had my mind blown.
That's insane, right?
And like, and I like the fact that you had to be on your toes, and I had to read subtitles the entire time. Like, I'm all about that.
People hated that.
No, but
we talked about it.
People are fucking stupid.
I hate that. Yeah, yeah, that makes me embarrassed for America.
And what's funny is like my wife, when she when we eat dinner, she has a habit of like keeping her head down for a little bit while she's cutting up her food or whatever. So like, she'll miss 10 seconds at a clip, but she's listening and she's still involved. But on a show like that, she's got to like actually change her habit to eat and like and watch. You can't miss a few words because.
Yeah,
and on top of that, you have to pay attention.
It's not one of the ones where you can stay on your phone and like, catch whatever's going on.
And especially like these, you shouldn't be on your phone anyway. But like, especially with subtitles, like if you're watching a show like Dark. But yeah. this episode in general, on top of the fact that like the subtitles made you stay on your toes, it was just such an interesting story, and like where the fuck that story went, and then like him, like, you know, they chased him, they got his scent going around the border of France into the woods. I was like,
I'm gonna say it. I can't wait. Xavier Dupont de Ligonnès. You're welcome.
Robert Stack was really good at doing the French names too.
Yeah,
you can tell he studied them in front of a mirror.
Did you see, did you watch, have you watched Dark yet? Or you just hear me talking about it all the time?
I've heard great things about it, but I just have not, I'm just
doing Dark. Okay, so I finally finished it. I finally finished it, and they fucking nail the ending. It blows your mind. I heard that too. It makes you cry. It's beautiful. Yeah, it's really
I've seen
great.
Them take the ending. People talk about the ending on Twitter saying like, that's how you end a show and all that stuff.
Yeah, yeah. It's a beginning, middle, and end.
Really?
It's like, they do the movie trilogy very well. It's like, okay. Season one, hey, here's time travel. Season two, hey, here's the future.
It's a movie or a book? I don't even know what it is.
It's a show.
No, Dark, the series on Netflix, I know is a TV show, but like, is it based off a book or a movie?
It's not. It's its own thing. Yeah.
Okay.
But it's actually, to say the themes of each season would be too spoilery, but yes, time travel. It's great.
I definitely have to watch. I just have not.
What about have you been seen anything cool, Eli? What'd you think about Search Party? You didn't watch too much of it, or
I watched a couple episodes and then I just haven't had time to go back to it.
You need to watch it with Jaws. Did you watch it with Jaws?
No, I watched it by myself.
Dude, don't you think Jaws would like that?
Yeah, I think she would.
And also, I was gonna recommend something else for you two to watch. Oh, Palm Springs on Hulu with Andy Samberg.
I don't have Hulu.
Fuck.
Oh, I have Hulu.
Dude, it's like Groundhog Day, but like Andy Samberg's at a wedding and he's in a loop, and it's like sci-fi romantic comedy. Really funny.
The shows and movies I've watched or we've watched, they are not necessarily paranormal or anything. Just more like dramatic stuff. Like we watched King of Staten Island, which was so good.
Oh, that was great. Yeah.
That was filmed down the block from my house. For real.
Did you like it? Did you see it? I was going to ask you about it.
I have not seen it yet. I loved it.
We also watched recently Peanut Butter Falcon with Shia LaBeouf.
Oh, I haven't seen that.
No.
Oh, that is really good. It is a really good
movie. Did you guys see Honey Boy?
Which one?
Honey Boy, the one about Shia LaBeouf?
No.
It's on Amazon.
That's about Shia LaBeouf?
Yeah, he wrote it. He plays his own dad.
Dude,
and it's about him.
I like him.
It's about him being a child actor. There's like a little boy who plays Even Stevens era Shia LaBeouf, and then he plays his dad like in the hotel being a dick to him and like saying like, "Oh, you're my honey boy, you make me money." And it's crazy, like his dad would like fucking scold this 12-year-old boy for like making more money than him.
Wow.
It's dirty.
That's crazy. He had a tough upbringing with his parents and yeah. There's a lot of fucked up shit.
And then another kid plays like I'm fucking punching cops Shia LaBeouf. So it's like it's interesting. It's really well done indie movie. It's not like super long.
I like it.
Cool. Yeah, watch it. It's good. That one lives on Amazon. Movie.
Where he plays a cholo. I can't wait for the next one.
I'm ready for The Boys on Amazon Prime in September.
Oh, at 1 a.m.
Season 2.
Did you see Umbrella Academy on Netflix?
No, I heard that was decent.
It's good. Yeah,
I'll check that out.
Season 2 comes out tonight. I'm very excited about that. But yeah, The Boys was a lot of fun.
Yeah,
I tried watching that, man. I couldn't get into it. I was just like,
I guess you have to be. I don't know.
Does it wasn't like Kevin Smith involved? Dude, I love everything Kevin Smith
does. No, not really.
He was involved? Yeah, he was a producer?
Yeah, I think he was.
I'm
pretty sure Kevin Smith was involved somehow.
We'll go to the videotape for that.
As like a super, I don't know, as a fan of like, I'm a big, huge Superman, Justice League kind of DC guy. Yeah. And it's such a dirty take on that specifically. Like Superman is, the Superman type is such a piece of scumbag shit.
Yeah. Like, and now you see him operate in the real world. It's pretty, it was very, very cool. I really liked it. I thought that they did a really good job.
Did you see Hunters? On Amazon? No,
that's what's his name?
Dude, Al Pacino.
Al Pacino, yeah. I haven't seen it. I heard that was very good.
Wait, which one are you talking about? Oh my gosh.
Hunters. Dan and I watched
it. Oh no, I haven't watched it.
It's very Quentin Tarantino pulpy comedy. Oh, it's so good. Like
I gotta watch that. I gotta make a list. I haven't watched fucking anything.
Hey, Jaws
came out, I was like, yes, okay.
David, Jaws wants to know if you watched Fantasy Island. It's supposed to be a scary movie.
Oh, I heard it was terrible. The trailer looks so bad. I haven't seen it.
He said it looks terrible. No, she did say it looked cheesy as fuck.
Oh, it does. Dude, honestly, you guys need to watch The Rental. It's like a...
said that we should watch The Rental.
Dave Franco directed it. Alison Brie's in it, his wife. Dude.
I don't know why. I guess I might have some misinformation. I can't find anything. I thought for some reason Kevin Smith was somehow involved with...
In The Boys? No. The Boys. That is misinformation.
You sound like Tom the Panther.
Misinformation!
Yeah.
I guess I should end this podcast. We haven't been talking about UFOs
for before my phone dies, you should wrap
up. Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, definitely. Oh, yeah. Your phone's still good. Okay.
So far, yeah, but I got the 10% warning about 20 minutes ago, so.
All right, yeah. Thanks so much. I wish Dan could have been here the whole time, but he's out making a drive-in movie happen because that's the way we watch movies now.
Perfect.
Thanks so much to Dan Derwin for joining us all the way from Staten Island.
Thanks for having me, guys. I love being on.
Yeah, it was really fun. We decided we'd have you for a more upbeat episode so we could have some jokes. And of course, Eli, thanks so much for hanging out, as always.
Well, thank you.
For every mystery, there is someone somewhere who knows the truth. Truth? Perhaps that someone is listening, and perhaps that someone is you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Good night.